Wanted something like that. I think all of us have. Let me give you a couple of quick facts about prayer. Let me tell you, God hears every prayer that you pray. He is always in tune. Psalm says that He actually inclines His ear to you when you call. The word incline means He actually bows down like a parent would to a small child to actually catch all and not miss anything of what's being said. God hears every prayer that you pray. God answers every prayer. Second fact, God answers every prayer that you and I pray. Every prayer. One guy said that when you're asking for the wrong thing, He says no. See, that is an answer. When you're not ready for it, He says grow. When the timing's not right, He says slow. But when everything is right and ready, He is willing to say, let's go for it. Let's cause that to happen. Your prayer, thirdly, is powerful when you pray in Jesus' name. Would you say, in Jesus' name? There's something about the name of Jesus that causes the Father's ears to perk up. Last week we had a delightful young man. I hope you enjoyed the message. I believe God spoke to us on Dad's Day. His name was David Chumley. And as I was introducing him, I mentioned in passing that his uncle was Pastor Jack Hayford. And I didn't see this in everybody's eye, but there were a couple of people that, you know, it was like they were kind of like this, and they perked up when they heard that he was connected to Jack Hayford. Now, I don't even think that's bad. I just think that's human. If I were to say to you, we have someone here today, and their father is, and I listed his name, and he was a well-known person in the world, or the mother was well-known, you know, you would probably take a little bit different slant or view of them. Let me tell you, when you come in Jesus' name to the Father, you're saying, I'm not coming with my own requests. I've checked this out with your Son, and He has put this on my heart, and on behalf of Him and what He wants, I'm asking you, oh God, to have mercy on us and grace and pour out your Spirit and do these types of things in your Son's name. All of a sudden, the Father has tremendous, tremendous open ears for you and wants to come. There is one prayer that's recorded in the Bible. Now, there are lots of prayers that we could offer, but there's one prayer that's recorded in the Bible that we're told that it pleases God extremely. It pleased God so much when this man prayed this prayer. The guy's name is Solomon. The prayer is recorded in 1 Kings chapter 3. We're going to be looking at there in just a moment. But when he prayed this prayer, it says that God was so pleased with the prayer that He not only gave him what he asked for, He gave him what he didn't ask for. Man, because of what you prayed, son, because you prayed and it was from the Father's heart, you weren't praying for your own selfish desires. You actually were praying for the benefit of people, and you were praying, my heart. He says, I'm going to give you what you asked for, and I'm also going to give you what you didn't ask for. That's the one prayer that we want to focus on today, and I've been praying, make us wise. Make us wise. Turn with me, if you aren't there already, to 1 Kings chapter 3. I want to read for you this text of Scripture, this prayer. And I was going to start at verse 4, but as I read this whole text, I have to start with verse 1 and make a couple of more comments to you as we work through this portion of Scripture. Father, I ask you to anoint the Word today. I ask you to allow it to come alive to us, and may it speak to our very souls and our very spirits. In Jesus' name I pray this. Amen. Solomon made an alliance, verse 1 tells us, in 1 Kings chapter 3, with Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he married his daughter, brought her to the city of David until he finished building his palace and the temple of the Lord and the wall around Jerusalem. The people, however, were still sacrificing at the high places because a temple had not yet been built for the name of the Lord. Solomon showed his love for the Lord by walking according to the statutes of his father David, except. Would you say that word with me? Except. Say it with me again. Except he offered sacrifices and burned incense on the high places. Now that is the introductory comments that we are given right before Solomon prays this prayer, and God is so pleased with his prayer that he answers him and gives him more than he requests. But we're told that he made an alliance with Pharaoh and he married his daughter. And we're also told that he loved God, except for the fact that he didn't totally do away with what they call the high places. And I wish I had time to talk with you about that. What I picked up from that is that Solomon wasn't perfect, and yet God hears his prayer. Now, that's important for you and I to know. Now, some of us have been around church life a long time, and sometimes we hear things, and it doesn't register in our hearts. But I visited a home this past week through a series of connections outside of this church. I was invited to come and pray for a couple. Their name has been, in the last few months, in the Sentinel, the newspaper. Something happened to this family, and I won't give you their names, but I was invited through a series of connections to go to this home. And so Donna and myself went over this past week, and as we sat in the living room with this couple, and they were asking us, is it okay to pray to God and ask him to do this? In the fullness of the word prayer, I mean, after all, we don't have our acts together and we aren't perfect. And you know, it's such a delight to talk to people who don't have an understanding of God and don't know that they have full access to the Father. That, you know, aren't you glad that, and some of you have been brought up Catholic, and there's a lot of great things that are happening in the Catholic. I have a lot of great Catholic friends, but I tell you that some of my friends who are Catholic and still Catholic, when they've broken into this understanding that, you know, it's not only the priest that can hear things, but they are priests. They are kings as well. And I got to tell this family who had a Catholic upbringing that, you know, you are a priest. You are a king. God will listen to you, and you don't have to be perfect. Listen, Solomon wasn't perfect, but when he prayed, God heard him. God hears you. And I want that to be understood today as we hear this prayer. Solomon wasn't perfect. But let me say another thing to you. He did have a couple of compromises in his life that ultimately was his downfall. And it happened to be women, and it happened to be worshiping on high places. And if you read 1 Kings, I think it's chapter 11, if you skipped all the way down there, you would find that his love affairs with women turned his heart against God. And he began to not just not worship God, but began to worship other gods as well. I've heard it said that America is a godless nation. Let me tell you, America is a God-filled nation. We have many, many gods that fill this nation. And when you worship on the high places, it's almost a statement that says, you know, I'm just going to add the God, the worship of the living God, to all the other gods, because the high place was the place where they worshiped idols. And so let me say to you that, yes, God hears you in your imperfectness, but don't let yourself think that because he hears your prayers and responds to you and he responds to me, that it's really okay that I compromise and allow things to happen. Because what it will do is it won't stop God from hearing you, but it will do what it did to Solomon. It stopped him from praying. It stopped him from seeking God. He started to seek other answers. There are some here today, and I say this, I believe by the Spirit, that you've allowed some compromises to happen in your life. You are presently sacrificing some things. Maybe no one knows about it at all, but internally you have compromised some things. And because you haven't had the bolt of lightning come upon you, because God is still being faithful to you, you've assumed that, well, it's okay to continue. And God says, no, I want to hear your prayers, and I will hear your prayers whenever you pray. But don't be lulled to sleep thinking that you can hold on to these compromisal positions or remain on the fence and not have it affect your life. So that's the basis. And I was going to skip over that, but I felt like the Lord says, no, don't skip over that. Make sure that's understood. Because now we read in 1 Kings 3, this prayer that was offered at this high place, a place that the Lord has specifically said, I don't want that going on. It says this, verse 4. The king went to Gibeon to offer sacrifices, for that was the most important high place. Solomon offered 1,000 burnt offerings on that altar. At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon during the night in a dream, and God said, ask for whatever you want, me to give you. See, that's this series, one prayer. What's the one thing you want? If you had one prayer, what would you pray? We're joining several hundred. I was told last week, 1,500 churches, almost a half a million people, a little bit more, who are in this same series saying, God, what's the one thing you want us to pray for right now? And that's the same question that's being asked here, a little different way, but basically the same thing. What do you want, Solomon? I'm going to give it to you. Ask me it. Verse 6. So Solomon answered, you've shown great kindness to your servant, my father David, because he was faithful to you and righteous and upright in heart. You've continued this great kindness to him and have given him a son to sit on his throne this day. Now, O Lord, my God, you've made your servant king in place of my father David, but I'm only a little child and I don't know how to carry about my duties. How many of you have ever found yourself in a position where you really don't know what to do? And you say, you know, what I'm confronting is so much bigger than me. And that's what the way David felt. He felt overwhelmed by all of the things that was happening. So he says, what your servant needs, and he goes on verse 8, your servant is here among the people, and you have chosen a great people, too numerous to count or number. So give your servant a discerning heart, that's the word for wisdom, to govern your people and to distinguish between right and wrong. For who is able to govern this great people of yours? The Lord, as we said earlier, was pleased that Solomon had asked for this. So God said to him, since you have asked for this, and not for long life or wealth for yourself, nor have asked for the death of your enemies, but for discernment in administering justice, I will do what you have asked. I will give you a wise and discerning heart, so that there will never have been anyone like you, nor will there be ever. Moreover, I will give you what you have not asked for, both riches and honor, so that in your lifetime you will have no equals among kings. Have you ever prayed for wisdom? Have you ever reached those points where you're overwhelmed? Got some kids that you don't know what to do with them? You got a marriage that's not as strong as it should be, and you say, oh God, what do I do? Show me the way. Wisdom is a cry that comes from people who need direction. People who are experiencing difficult times, maybe even dark times, and there are sometimes you lose your way and you don't know what to do, and it almost feels like you're stumbling around in the dark and you're trying to find your way, and you say, Could someone turn the light on? Could you help me? How do I get from where I am out there? That little joke, years ago, I saw this little sheep in the pit, and there was a bunch of other sheep all the way, you know, standing on top, and the sheep standing on the top were looking down saying, you shouldn't have done this, and you did that, and you did this. And the little sheep says, I know how I got here. I want to find out how to get out. That's my question. You know, thanks for telling me. I already know how I got here. Stupid, stupid, stupid. But I need to have someone help me to get out. That's the cry for wisdom. A decision was made by our Supreme Court, May 15th. They decided to overturn Proposition 22 that was established by the will of the people in the year 2000. 61% of the people of California voted to uphold the dignity of marriage and the foundation for marriage being held that marriage is between a man and a woman. Four people on May 15th, dressed in robes, overturned that decision. It opened the door for some of the events that happened this past week. We had news, front page news, various papers throughout the state of one individual with another individual of the same sex coming together and seeking to obtain a marriage license. I'll tell you, my heart this week has cried out for wisdom. I want to say more about that in a little bit, but let me just say for now, my heart cried out, and I'm sure yours did too, because you have a relationship with the Lord. You hopefully know enough of what His heart's desire is. You say, God, give us wisdom. What do we do? How do we do whatever you want us to do, show us your way. We are living in challenging times. Our country is shifting right before our very eyes, and it has been for quite some time in the last 50 years. If we were to explore what the changes that have happened, they seem to be happening so much more quickly now than they did in years past. And, oh God, help us. I was invited last Tuesday by our DA's wife, Cheryl Calhoun, to attend a Board of Supervisors meeting. The meeting was about preventing meth use in our society, in our county. It was to represent the faith-based community as being a part of the decision process, saying we have a problem with methamphetamines, we have a problem. And see, we're not talking about Chicago. We're not talking about Los Angeles or San Francisco or New York or Dallas or any other big city. We're talking about Hanford. We have a big problem. They showed us a film, and I'm telling you, I was sitting next to Sue Braz, who oversees the ministry called Champions, and also Hannah's House, and dealing with people who are struggling in this dimension. And she was sitting next to me, and she says, "Have you ever seen this film before?" And it was about 30 minutes long. And I said, "No, I haven't," because I was starting to cry. And she says, "I've seen it 3 times, and every time I cry." It's staggering, the truth that's going on. It's staggering to understand and hear what's happening in this county, in this county. I left that two-hour meeting. It was right around lunchtime. I just said, "Oh God, we cry out for your wisdom. We cry out for you." See, the battlefront is not just any one place. It's in several different areas, lots of different areas. The enemy hates you. He hates the church. He hates anything about God. He will get at people any way he can. There's lots of ways to destroy people. And I cried out and I says, "Oh Lord, wisdom, wisdom. How can we tap into that?" And God says, "I'll give you wisdom. I'll give you wisdom." You know, we are in a day and age where we dare not try to accomplish spiritual things in our own strength. I say that to you by the power of the Lord. We better wait and wait and wait and wait some more on the Lord, because when you step out, you want to step out in His authority. You don't want to step out on some good idea and some thought that came from man, as we'll talk about in a few moments. You want to step out because you've spent time with the living God. You know this is what we're supposed to do. And whatever the success or whatever happens as a result of that, that's left in His hand. But when I walk in obedience, it's going to be, I'm going to do this because I believe, I've convinced, I've reached a point of conviction that I'm supposed to do this because God told me, not because someone else told me. And God wants to give that. That's the second point in this message, that God wants to give you wisdom. Now, how can He do that? Let me give you four things. And if you're taking notes, I left it blank specifically today, not because I didn't have anything to say. I left it blank because, and I might do that periodically, because I just want to be able to, I want to in these days more and more be able to kind of shift and flow with the Holy Spirit as He functions with me. The way He functions with you is differently, but the way He functions with me, I want to keep discerning that. And so I left it blank this morning. Let me give you four ways that God can give you wisdom. You can tap into His wisdom. Aren't you thankful for that? Man, you can tap into the person who knows everything. I mean, have you ever met someone who is so intelligent that just is, they're so far beyond you? They know something about everything. You ask him about electricity. I don't mean to pick you out, John Lane, but I'll tell you, you ask that guy about virtually, he knows, he has answers to stuff. He came over and helped me in my house not too long ago. It's kind of like, man, I got ticked off that he knows so much. Listen, it says in 1 John that the Holy Spirit knows everything, and He's in you. Now, you don't know everything, and I don't know everything, but He does know everything. And if you and I can tap into that, I'm telling you, anything we have need of, we can have revealed to us. We have any ranchers here or farmers here today who'd like to have a secret tap into an underground spring? Some water so that you could provide for your crops the way that it needs to? Wouldn't that be nice to be able to tap into something legally and have enough water to go around? Well, there is a way to tap in. And you know, it all starts in Proverbs chapter 1, where it says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge." Fear of the Lord. Proverbs 1:7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline. Proverbs 24 says that the house is built with wisdom, it's established with understanding, and it's filled with knowledge. You cannot separate knowledge, wisdom, understand. They kind of all go together. And wisdom is a combination of all of these things. And it begins, it doesn't end, but it begins at a point. If you're going to pray this prayer, make me wise, you got to begin with the fear of the Lord. You got to start respecting Him. Let me tell you, that was God-led this morning. Sandy didn't lead our worship this morning. So some of you probably know that, but if you didn't know that, I'm telling you, God led us in worship this morning. Whenever you are challenged to focus on Him and you put your eyes upon Him, all of a sudden you're fearing the Lord. You're giving Him preeminence. You're giving Him that first place. Isn't that what we want our kids to learn? We want them to learn respect. So you say, no, you don't throw trash on the floor. You put it in the trash can. It doesn't belong there. No, you don't throw that toy. That cost mom and dad a little bit of money. And every time you throw that, it breaks it, and it's disrespectful. No, when you talk to them, you call them Miss Donna. You call them Mr. Tim. You call them by an appropriate name. We begin to try to teach them respect. Respect is allowing God to be who He is. And I learn His names. Alpha, Omega, the source of our life, Prince of Peace, oh Counselor, oh Mighty God, Lord, Savior, Healer, Deliverer, Baptizer. You know, once you've got those things down, I'm not a fan of the big guy upstairs. But you know, I'm not even against that at times, as long as we have a foundation of understanding. Because there's times when I've actually said that to the Lord. It's kind of like, hey, big guy, what are we going to do now? And I have that freedom. You have that freedom to joke with Him. But most of the times when people use that phrase, they don't have an understanding. They don't have a respect for God. They haven't learned who He really is. We have to start there. We have to begin there. And then you know what the second thing is? You just simply have to ask. Isn't that what James chapter 1 says? Isn't that what Solomon did? God came to him and says, what do you want? And it says he asked. Listen to James chapter 1. But if any of you lack wisdoms, let him ask of God, who gives to all generously and without reproach, it will be given to him. Oh, that's too simple. You mean all I have to do is ask? No, you have to start by respecting God. Stop focusing on everything else. Focus on Him. Make Him the center of your life. When you get up in the morning, before you see all of the activities you have to do, focus on Jesus. Father, I acknowledge You today as the Lord of all. I don't care what comes, what may. You are over all of those things. I may hurt today. I may suffer today. Things may look disappointing today. But You're over all of those things. I am focusing on You. That's the fear of the Lord. Respect You. Then just ask, God, would You come? Now listen, church. Do you notice that it says James 1:5, it says, if you lack any wisdom, what does it say? Let him ask what? Of God. Let him ask of God. You see, that's where the true source of wisdom comes from. The true source of wisdom comes from God. But there's another type of wisdom, and it's that other type of wisdom that we often see operated in our legislative processes. We often see this other type of wisdom leading the lives of people, and unfortunately, even this other type of wisdom that doesn't come from God, it comes from some other source, we see it even operating in the lives of Christian people. Let me read to you, and hope you did bring your Bibles, because I want you to understand that this is in fact based upon the Word of God and not my understanding. But James chapter 3, 13 through 18 talks about these two types of wisdom. Who among you is wise and understanding? Let him show by his good behavior and his deeds in the gentleness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not be arrogant so as to lie against the truth. This wisdom is not that which comes down from heaven or above, but is earthly, natural, demonic. You see, there is a wisdom that comes from above. There is a wisdom that comes from God. I'm talking about tapping into that wisdom. You begin with the fear of God. You remove God from the process, and I'm telling you, you are destined to function and live life on the basis of earthly wisdom, natural wisdom, which is the word sensual, a wisdom that comes out of our senses. What I feel is right. And we'd be surprised if our eyes are really open as to how much of our wisdom that the world purports today is not just earthly, human, not just sensual, but it's actually influenced by the demonic powers of darkness. So there are two sources of wisdom. We're talking about respecting God, asking, not just asking for wisdom, but asking God, because we want to plug into the true wisdom. The third thing that you and I can do is we can be still and know that I am God. See, Jesus is our wisdom. And Psalms says, 46:10, be still and know that I am God. There are times in our life where you just need to take a break. You need to step back. I try to do this on a day-by-day basis. I take seriously what David said in Psalms 119, 148. He says, my eyes anticipate the night hours that I might meditate on your word. That I might meditate on your word. I don't get a lot of sleep on any given night. And you know, some of that I dislike. I would like to get a good night's sleep. But you know, in another phase, I don't want to ever sleep through a night without meditating on God's word. I love to be woken up by the Spirit, hearing His word just going into my heart, going in and hearing it. I love to lay on my bed and say, God, what did I do today? What should I learn today? One guy said, sum up at night what you have done during the day. Don't ever let a day go by where you don't lay on your bed and say, God, is there anything you wanted to say to me? Did I miss an opportunity? Was there something you wanted to teach me or wanted me to notice? And when you give Him that opportunity, what you're doing is you're stilling your heart. So easy for all of us to... I was brought up in a home where... it's unimportant. I've been in homes where people don't watch television very much, but it's always on. I get in the car and the radio instantly goes on. We have to have noise. We have to have something going on. And sometimes you need to turn the radio off. Sometimes you need to not subscribe to the paper. Sometimes you need to say, I'm going to take a week away from the television and see what it's like, instead of just waiting for a yearly retreat to go away and not watch TV for 2 days. See what happens when you still your heart, because you'll start to know God. And that's where wisdom really is. You know God. There are some people here who know about God. I'm telling you, there's some people here who just know God. Some of you don't. Some of you do. We've got to know God. The fourth way, and one of the best ways that I know, is to plug into His Word. Plug into His Word. I've asked a couple of couples in the church to join me. You guys here, Andrew and Deborah, are you here? Come on up, would you please? Amy, I don't know. Do I see you guys? Amy and Adam, why don't you come up too? I've asked them just to help me with this point. I am convinced that the Word of God is key to our growing in God's wisdom. If you don't hurry up, the service will be all over, guys. Andrew, Adam and Amy, why don't you stand over here, okay? David said, listen to this, in Psalms 119:97, oh, I love your law. That's his word. I meditated on it all day long. Your commands make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more insight than all my teachers because I meditate on your statutes. I have more understanding than the elders, for I obey your precepts. You know, if we only had that scripture, that would give you an understanding as to why we're, as a church, journaling. We're taking time on a day-by-day basis to look at scripture, because this is where wisdom is. It's not something that the priest should just tell you about and you never read for yourself. It's not something that the pastor or the rabbi, it's something that all of us have the privilege of having His Word. And so we've set this year aside to grow. And we says, God, as we eat Your Word, would You please teach us? As we do just simple things, we look at a scripture, S. We make an observation, O. And we write it down. And we make an application. Okay, now that You've shown us that, what can I do in my life? So I write an application. And then I just pray a prayer. Oh, God, help me. And we've encouraged people, encourage you. I'm trying it myself to do it on a day-by-day basis. Some of you may be hearing this for the first time, and we have some journals, I think, at the guest services. You can pick one up on your way out. Start the process. And if you've fallen down, that's okay. Get up again. So you missed a few days. Maybe you've missed a week or so. That's okay. Get up again. Start eating the Word. It brings strength to you. It brings power to you. It's not a little thing we are doing. I believe that we are in preparation for 2009. I believe that there's a next move of God that's going to be happening, and we better be ready for it so that we can do all that He wants us to do. And this is the months where we are preparing ourselves. So having said that, I brought these four up because I know that they're people of the Word. And I asked them to answer a couple of questions for me. First one I'm going to ask them, I didn't tell them, so they're going to be surprised and shocked. They're going to not come back the second service to do it because they're going to be mad. First question is, why do you guys read the Word in the first place? Why do you and Adam read the Word?
It's my lifeline. Am I on?
No, are you on?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you are.
It's a lifeline. That's where I get my source of power and comfort and peace.
Yeah.
And direction.
And how long have you been doing this, Amy?
Reading the Word?
Yeah.
About 24 years, something like that.
Oh, is that true for you too, Adam? When you read the Word, do you get something new from the same passages, or is it just kind of ho-hum, boring? And
no, I think it's new all the time. Yeah. And I can read the same passage several times and go back to it, and God showed me something new. Yeah. And that's why I continually read it, is because that's been the way that I've learned who He is. And once you know who He is, then you want to know Him more.
Yeah.
And so every time it's new, and I don't know how many times I've gone through it, but there are certain passages that I've read 100 times. Mm. And each time God can speak through me differently through that same passage.
By the way, this is Amy and Adam Medeiros, and this is Deborah and Andrew Nelson, okay? Great couples in the church. Well, why do you guys read the Word?
Well, I read the Word primarily because it's my foundation. My foundation for life, you know, like they said, it really helps establish who I am in Him and how I want to be in the future for Him. So that is really, it's the building block for me. So
would you say ditto to that, Deborah, or would you want to add something to that?
It's my peace and it's my healing, and that's the connection that we need, that I need. And my strength.
Yeah. Now we know, don't we, that we can pick up wisdom from the Bible, as you know that. But you can also pick up some pieces of wisdom along the way that's not necessarily found in the Bible. Godliness next to cleanliness, it's not in the Bible. There's some things that we could say, you know, that people really think that's in the Bible. And it's not, there's a lot of those things in the Bible. But you can pick up wisdom. I'm wondering what kind of wisdom you picked up. I picked up some wisdom, because I was brought up back east, and the wisdom was don't eat yellow snow. And I personally believe that's a good piece of wisdom. I read someplace where it said don't be nice to the people on your way up, because you might meet them on the way down. So there's some good wisdom. Have you picked up any wisdom along the way? What would be a couple of things you picked
there's
up?
There's a quote, I believe it was Matthew Henry, that said, "The bullet flies over him who stoops." And that's been words I've tried to live by. And it's amazing how much we can avoid getting hit when you humble yourself in conflict with others, as well as just before the Lord. It's just better if you just stoop first. Yeah. It's just a better thing.
Yeah, so the word stoop has humility in mind. Actually, one guy said
you'll
stand tallest on your knees, that type of a thing. Mm-hmm. Awesome, yeah, wow.
One of the greatest tidbits of wisdom has been James chapter 3, and it says, mercy triumphs over judgment. And I think mercy, I've had to deal with mercy in myself and how God has bestowed that to me, and now it's my job to be merciful and not judgmental to other people and give them that benefit of the doubt and love on them the way the Lord loved me.
Yeah, isn't that awesome? Well, another one that I picked up was, if it sounds too good to be true, probably not. Good piece of wisdom. What couple of pieces of wisdom you guys picked up?
One, nothing in life is free. It always costs. Sometimes the cost is up front, sometimes it's on the back, but nothing in life is free.
Pay me now, pay me later.
Yep.
If you don't have anything, that's okay.
Okay.
It's okay. You'll pass on that. Now these are two couples that are probably the wisest people I've ever met. But I think they've probably done some foolish stuff. So see, the opposite of being wise is foolish. So have you guys ever done anything foolish? Is there any decision you guys have made? Is that saying you've never done anything foolish, but he has? He is the expert in this area. Is that what you're trying to say, Deborah? Do some marriage counseling after this.
I would say probably the most foolish thing I've done is to purchase something major without consulting my spouse. That's probably one of the most foolish things I've ever done. It's cost us a great deal, both emotionally, financially, and even physically. And, of course, all that affects your spiritual life. So yeah. I can honestly say that's one of the most foolish things I've ever done.
Yeah. Would that compare to the time I bought a car on a credit card?
Yeah, yes.
That's okay.
Yes.
I'll take that car here. Yeah. 21% interest, that'd be kind of stupid. Yeah, Deborah. The question was, have you ever done anything foolish other than marrying that didn't come from the spirit, okay? That was the flesh slipping up.
No, that would be God's wisdom, marrying him.
Yeah. So. If you don't have something, that's okay.
Well, I think to go along with his foolish thing was that I didn't let him forget it. I kept mentioning that, you know, it was almost equated to, without consulting me, was almost like not consulting God.
Yeah.
So I made it.
Yeah. Awesome. What about you guys? Have you done anything ever foolish?
I do, but gosh, I'm just not sure it's... it would take too long to go into the many, many hundreds of foolish things I've done. The one that comes first to my mind is probably the most recent very foolish thing I did was second time I drove my husband's brand new beautiful four-door four-wheel drive truck. I put a dent in a scrape about this long, hitting a mailbox at the post office. I don't know, I could have learned a lot of lessons from that, but I laughed when Adam was talking about mercy triumphs over judgment, because that was his response to my foolish act on his truck. And so he's always raised the kids with that, those words of wisdom. But no, I've done a lot, and God's always been merciful to me, and even Adam's been merciful to me.
What's a foolish thing you've done?
Well, besides coming up here and having you ask me random questions in front of 100 people, I haven't done a lot of foolish stuff. I've done so many foolish things that it's hard to name one, because who God is has triumphed over every one of them. I'll mention one. I bought a building, and as soon as I bought it, we had prayed about it. We wanted it. We bought it. I was in over my head. I was in so deep that I sat my kids down and told them, I said, I think God's brought us out here to die. I mean, it was that bad. No, I think it was that bad. But God showed up so mightily in that and turned things around. It's hard for me to say that was a foolish move. It was kind of like, that's just the direction I had to go where God led me, but he did pull me out of it. But it was still a foolish thing, because I was not prepared for it. Yeah. I didn't prepare financially. I wasn't prepared for, you know, that whole situation. But God delivered me from it. So it's really not a foolish thing. So many of the foolish things I've done, God has always been there, and he is faithful to pull you out if you go in seeking him. You seek him, you pray, and then you step out in faith, and if it looks bad, don't worry, God's big enough to pull you out.
Yeah, and that is the great thing about God. When we do jump into Lake Stupid every once in a while, that he does have mercy on us and grace, and throws us a raft and, you know, and gets us back in. I think that the Word of God probably is the best place to find his wisdom. And if we hear him speak to us, we always pass it through the grid of God's Word. You can get personal experience, and that'll bring you some wisdom. Wayne Cadero, pastor of New Hope Church in Hawaii, a very large church, you know, talks about getting personal wisdom. If you can run into a wall and you can hit your head, and what you learn is wall hard, nose soft. Wall doesn't move, face does, you know. And you can learn these lessons through personal experience, or you can learn wisdom through the experiences of others. And one of the great things about the Bible is that it's filled with the stories of men and women who have lived just like you and me. They're natural people called by God to live on this planet for a certain amount of time. And as you, the Bible records the good, the bad, and the ugly so that we can get a perspective of how they lived. And when I read some of those stories, then I can learn from them, and I don't necessarily have to follow them. Wouldn't you love to have your children always follow your example, and not your example, but follow what you have learned? I try to tell my kids, you don't have to have this happen if you'll do this. But some people just are bent on personal experience, and they can't learn from others. Let's sum up and tell us one thing you've learned. And I know you're students of the Word. I know you journal and you're doing however you're doing. I'm not going to ask you if you're faithful every straight day, but I know you're in the Word. What is a point of wisdom that God has dropped into your heart within the last 3 or 4 weeks? Don't go back ancient on me, but just in the last couple of weeks, what point of wisdom has God dropped into your heart?
I think He reminds me daily of His faithfulness. That He is there to kind of overcome our own stupidity, our own anxiousness to do things, that His faithfulness has always been there and is there renewed every morning.
Awesome. And if you had, were to attach a scripture to that, does any scripture come to your mind? Let me give you one just in case. Lamentations, right in the middle, 3. Every morning His mercies are. How does that go?
Mercy
is new every straight morning. Yeah, that would be a great one and that's you know what you got from that. Amy.
There's not one particular scripture that comes to mind, but I've been overwhelmed at the power of God, and I've kind of reviewed over my journaling and then our women's Bible study on Thursdays, which, ladies, you can still come to that. Little plug. The power of God. What a powerful God we serve, and there's just so many miracles that He has performed. Our salvation being the greatest one of all, overcoming sin and death. But I think I've just been in awe, just being reminded of how powerful He is and what a mighty God He is and how good He is.
Which changes your attitude whenever you're confronting various things,
yeah.
When you're reminded of that from His Word.
It also makes me hungry to see, thinking, we're not living at that level where we should be, because I think we should be seeing a lot more demonstrations of His power. So they put a hunger in, too.
What about you guys? It's a couple of things God's dropped in your heart from the Word recently.
Not really a scripture, but just the idea of my wisdom equates to an abundance of God's grace. Whenever I'm trying to figure something out, and I think that maybe what I feel needs to be done is gonna work.
Yeah.
And then that God has always shown me that He's willing and He's available with all the grace that, I'm making Him give me, basically, in this situation.
Awesome. What about you, Andrew?
One of the things that I get a lot of joy of is when I write my thoughts down from journaling, from reading the scripture, that I find the more that I journal, the more that I open myself up to the very thoughts of God in my heart. You know, it's something very powerful when you write down your thoughts, when you've read a scripture and you've got some things that you want to ask God for, that immediately, as soon as you write those words down, the Spirit of God just lifts off the page and begins to minister to you. And it's always something good to go back and reference those things maybe months down the road, years down the road. So for me, reading and journaling, I mean, it really is the blood that flows through me. It keeps me alive. You know, without putting those thoughts down, they're just thoughts that never get out.
Yeah.
And hence, the God that I serve, although He's all-knowing, I sure love it when He can speak to me and I can read what he spoke to me.
Yeah, awesome. It's a tool, isn't it?
Yes.
It's a tool to get His Word in our hearts. Thank you guys very much. Would you give them a hand for that? Thank you guys. Say with me the words respect.
Respect.
If you'll respect God. If you will reflect. Would you say reflect? Reflect. If you'll reflect on his words. If you'll make a request, say the word request, request, ask. And if you will read his word, you'll find you're plugged into his wisdom. And it will happen. Now listen, here's what I want to conclude with. You and I, in this day and age, are called to cry out for wisdom. But we're also called to live by his wisdom. And we're also called to uphold his wisdom. Uphold his wisdom. You and I cannot possibly know the wisdom of God without tapping into him. Respecting him, that's the beginning point. Requesting from him, asking him for wisdom. Reflecting, meditating on his word. Being still before him and reading his word. As we do that, we are plugged in. Without that, do you know what happens, church? And I see this all the time in the Christian community. We fall prey to human wisdom. When we're confronted with issues that we've been confronted in our nation in this past few weeks, we don't even understand what the big thing is. It's kind of like, well, I can understand that. It seems so right. That's because we have not tapped into the wisdom of God. We are functioning with a wisdom that's natural, sensual, even demonic at times. I would like to now return in our closing comments to Romans chapter 1, and I want to read you God's wisdom with reference to what has happened recently. By the way, I am not a politically motivated person. I am not here to change the politics of the United States of America. But I'm telling you, as a man under authority, recognizing that authorities have been given to us, and you'll be hearing more as we come closer to the elections, you'll be hearing me talk about being people under authority. I want to be a part of the political process. I want to be a part of the process that God gives to us so that we can do the wisdom that he gives us to do. Here's God's wisdom from Romans chapter 1. It says this. The wrath of God, verse 18, is being revealed from heaven against all the good godlessness and wickedness of men who suppress the truth by their wickedness. Since what may be known about God is plain to them because God has made it plain to them. Since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made so that men are without excuse. Although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him. But their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like mortal man and birds, animals and reptiles. Therefore, God gave them over in the sinful desires of their heart to sexual impurity for the degrading of their bodies with one another. They exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshiped and served the created things rather than the Creator, who is forever praised. Because of this, God gave them over to shameful lusts. Even their women exchanged natural relationships for unnatural ones. In the same way, the men also abandoned natural relationships with women and were inflamed with lust for one another. Men committed indecent acts with other men and received in themselves the due penalty for their perversion. Furthermore, since they did not think it worthy to retain the knowledge of God, he gave them over to a depraved mind to do what ought to not be done. They have become filled with every kind of wickedness, evil, greed, depravity. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice. They are gossips, and the list goes on. I want to submit to you for your consideration today. And when I say that, I genuinely mean, I'm not here to tell you something. I'm here to submit to you what I personally am convinced of. I am convinced that the real battle is not against two people of the same sex who makes a decision to obtain a marriage license. I am convinced that our battle is not against flesh and blood. It really is against powers of darkness that be. The real battle is that we have exchanged the wisdom of God for the wisdom of man. Somehow, beginning before our times, in the 18th century, back in those higher critical days, we began to elevate man and de-deify God. And somehow now, even many Christians think that the wisdom of man is really the way to go. I'm telling you that there is a wisdom from above and there is a wisdom from below. But our battle is against that. We are called to uphold truth. Because whenever truth is exchanged for a lie, it devastates people. Let me tell you, it'll devastate people because it's God's word who fall for the wisdom of the world and are of the same sex and decide to live together and do the types of things that they do. It will destroy a heterosexual couple who say, you know, our marriage is falling apart. Let's have an affair. That'll spice it up. Let's get pornography into them. Let's bring a third party into the play. That'll help our marriage. That's worldly wisdom, natural, sensual, demonic. It does not work. We're not against them. We're holding up truth and wisdom. When a single person buys into the wisdom of the world, you know, you should put the body, soul, and spirit in that order. You ought to go for the sex first before you get married. Then you ought to develop a relationship, and then you worry about the spiritual stuff. Bible says, no, it's spirit, soul, and body. You develop your spiritual life first with that person. Then you develop a friendship and an intimacy. And then when marriage comes, then you enter into the beauty of sexual relationships. When you fall for the wisdom of the world, it is going to devastate that young person who is wanting to have a relationship. Do you know, church, that our battle is to hold up the truth, and we must speak up. We must speak out. I want to close with, I guess I said that three or four times now, haven't I? I want to close. I'm just giving you hope. Just giving you hope. I was told that that clock is broken back there. It's about 20 minutes slow. So in my mind, I've got 20 more minutes to go. Let me tell you, Proverbs chapter 1 says this. Wisdom shouts in the streets. Now, to do something that my brother did over here a few moments ago, Doug Davis, he came up and shouted the word power. Wisdom shouts in the streets. Shouts in the streets. So many voices going around today. What do you believe? Shouts in the streets. Why is it shouting? Maybe it's because we're asleep. There was a guy who fell asleep in Acts chapter 20. Remember him? Eutychus? Paul was preaching. Some of you are sleeping right now. At least until I shouted there for a second. And I don't feel too bad about that. If they fell asleep with Paul, it's okay if you fall asleep with me. Paul was a great orator, you know. Fall asleep. We sleep one-third of our lives away. The funny thing about sleep is you don't know you're asleep when you're asleep. We've really got to wake up, because you and I are not against anyone. You and I have to proclaim truth. We have to shout the wisdom of God. However that's received and wherever it takes us, that's God's problem. He's the one who created the world. He's the one who created the church. He's the one overseeing things, but I must do my part. I will, for my days, I will stand and declare what I know to be the wisdom of God. I will not stand against people. I will not stand against them. I will be for the truth. And if that brings people against us, so be it. But we are fighting a battle against the exchanging of truth for a lie. I submit that to you for your consideration. And over the next few months, so we come towards the elections. I was at a pastor's meeting this past week that talked about the shifting of our nation. And we must understand that this is a serious time. And this prayer is a serious prayer. Make us wise. And if you're confused today as to what wisdom really is, and you're thinking that the wisdom of the world really is okay, you need to respect God. You need to ask Him, request from Him. You need to reflect on His Word, and you need to read His Word. You need to get into His Word, because that's how you plug into the source of wisdom. Stand with me. My time is done. Jesus, I appeal to you today to assist us in these crucial days. I'm not trying to make something bigger than it really is, but I believe this is a crucial time in history. We're not facing things that are brand new. There's things that we've talked about today have gone on for centuries now. So nothing's new under the sun. But we appeal in this culture, in this day, for us to give us wisdom. Is there anyone here just who would raise your hand and say, I need wisdom for my personal life right now? For you personally, you're in the place, you need some wisdom. God, give individuals wisdom today in that personal level. But we need your wisdom on a corporate level, Jesus. What do you want this church to do? Not what is some other church supposed to do, but what is the wise thing that we are to do living in this culture? How shall we live in this world, Lord? We're created to live here and given authority to live here. Now give us wisdom so that we'll know what we can do while we are here so that we can make a difference. There may be someone here today, you've never asked God to become the wisdom of your life. You've never asked him to give you wisdom to become your Lord and Savior. And if you are here, you've never asked him to become your Lord and Savior, and you want that to happen today, just raise your hand. I want to pray for you. Anyone at all? Anyone at all? Yes. Anyone at all? Yes. Lord Jesus, I thank you for pouring out your wisdom today. You are our wisdom. We can't know wisdom unless we know you. And as this one person raised their hand, wants to know you, I pray that should begin, Lord, to begin to experience you and to begin to follow you and to know who you are. As she comes forward in just a few moments and we give her some material, Lord, I ask that you would begin to help her along the way. We thank you for loving us and thank you for answering this prayer. And I believe you're pleased with us today because we are praying it. Lord, make us wise. And everybody said, amen. Elders, wives, prayer teams, would you please come forward? If you have any prayer needs at all, please make sure you come. If you're the one that raised your hand, please come down. Let us give you some information and send you on your way so that you can begin to grow in the Lord.